Good morning, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Sunday, January 19th, 2020. We're coming to you from the studios located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. I'm Kevin Rogers at the microphone. Glad to have you listening. As always, let's start by taking a look at today's headlines and, the weather forecast. Trying to get the weather forecast here on my phone going because it's, of course, the most accurate thing out there. Headlines, Education That Works for Them is the title of one article about a program at the high school in Humboldt. Traveling Smithsonian exhibit is going to debut in Fort Dodge coming up. And those are the two local stories on the front page of the paper. You may expect today a high of zero. And doesn't say if that's minus zero or above zero, just zero. And a low tonight of minus 11, expect a northwest wind out of 14 to 17 miles per hour with wind chills as low as minus 30. Currently in Fort Dodge, it's minus 5. It feels like it's minus 23 degrees. Also calling up real quickly here for just a few moments, there are several delays or cancellations in town today for church. And if I can get that called up, I'll read that information to you. I know that Trinity United Methodist Church was not having services today. That one I memorized. Crossway Church, Christ Lutheran Church, Community of Christ Church, First Baptist Church, First Congregational Church, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Trinity Lutheran Church, and Trinity United Methodist Church are all listed as being closed this morning. And so let's take a look at the front page of the paper. The traditional environment and pace of a high school classroom didn't work for Kristen Hernandez, age 17, a junior in Humboldt High School. But a program called Alpha has allowed him to tailor his education in a way that has helped him find success, and it has kept him on path towards graduation. I can go at my own pace, and I don't have to worry about what the teacher is saying, because sometimes when everyone else understands, I don't. Alpha stands for Alternative Learning Program for the Humboldt area. It started in 2012 inside a remodeled industrial arts classroom at the old middle school in Humboldt. On Wednesday, Hernandez was working on algebra there. It's been going good, he said. I'm catching up on credits I failed at the high school. Prior to Alpha, students who needed an alternative education plan were sent to Pocahontas. According to Lori Wisthoff, a principal at Humboldt High School, the travel distance of about 30 minutes was a pretty clear drawback. That was tough, Wisthoff said. It was tough for them to have to drive that far and for teachers to have that rapport with the kids. Eventually, a community of teachers was formed and the idea for Alpha was developed. Kristen Fisher is the coordinator of the program. Kristen is amazing, Westhoff said. She's the perfect person for the job. She develops a family atmosphere there amongst the students. The program is only as good as the teacher teaching it, and we are fortunate to have Kristen. Kristen Fisher holds a bachelor's degree in elementary education from the University of Iowa. She helped design the space for students. We wanted a smaller home-like environment for students that maybe, for whatever reason, the traditional high school setting wasn't for them. We wanted a more individual plan for those students, a place for them to be successful and get their high school diploma. Fisher, a Corwith Wesley Laverne High School graduate, is there to help students and navigate through any problems they may encounter. That includes reteaching some lessons. I do a lot of math here, Fisher said. Fisher also works with her students on a post-secondary plan, whether that's college, military, or finding work. One benefit Fisher sees is students having their own building to come to for Alpha. Before this, they didn't have to show up to a physical building, and I think that's part of why not as many were graduating. This has allowed us to build a community where students feel safe and supported. Although it's mostly online, we still want to see students face-to-face to talk about issues and make them feel like they can come and learn and not be judged. Callie Nils, 17, is a junior and is planning to graduate high school before her senior year. That's been made possible through Alpha. She's worked hard and is able to do that, Fisher said. All high school students need 48 credits to graduate. With the goal of graduating early, Nils has had to invest more time in her studies, but she's okay with that. I've been taking a lot of online classes, she said. I work on them outside of school a lot. She appreciates having Fisher's support. I like it a lot better this way. It's more of a one-on-one environment if you need help. If it doesn't make sense, there's always resources you can find or ask Miss Fisher. There's another reason she likes Alpha. It's quieter, she said. Niels is currently in Algebra 2, Personal Money Management and Career Explorations on her plate. Alpha accepts a total of 20 students. 10 are there in the morning, 10 are there in the afternoon. Most students split their day between high school and Alpha. A vast majority of the work is completed online, but some work has to be sent back to the high school for grading. Classes like art and shop have to be completed to the high school. Brandon Brockway, 17, a junior, has found his pace at Alpha. He was studying geometry on Wednesday. I like to go one class at a time, he said. For me personally, I don't like to rush. According to Fisher, Alpha has graduated a total of 46 students in 7 years. The program is split into blocks. That block lasts about 22 days. In that block, they have to get at least one online class done, then progress reports get sent home. We also fill out contracts at the beginning of each block. We go over goals for this block, what class or classes they want to get done. Michael McKee, 17, a senior, likes the Alpha atmosphere. It's easier for me to concentrate and understand this way, said McKee, who is working on biology. Johnny Rojas, 17, a junior, is taking a sociology course. Being able to complete multiple assignments is a plus for him. If you can want to work ahead, you can. At school, you have to be rolling with the class. Here, you can finish 10 assignments in a day if you want. According to Fisher, students who wish to be in Alpha have to fill out an application and write an essay explaining why it's a good fit for them. Back to the front page. After the buzz of the caucuses officially leave town in February, the Fort Dodge will have the opportunity to experience democracy in a different way. A traveling exhibit from the Smithsonian Museum of American History in Washington, D.C., based on a major exhibition currently on display there, will soon make its first stop at the Fort Dodge Library. Fort Dodge will be one of 6 towns in Iowa to receive the interactive opportunity to see the evolution of American democracy as well as record their experiences and thoughts about it. This is not a static museum, said Chris Patrick, executive director of Main Street Fort Dodge. Many of the pieces within the exhibit are interactive. I think that's why it's successful. Since Fort Dodge organizers were the first to throw their hat into the ring for the exhibit, locals will be first to have their voices recorded on democracy. Participants can have their interaction stored with the Smithsonian, where it can be used for up to 6 years in a permanent display. Librarian Erica Earp said the 650-square-foot exhibit will be the largest one the library has had in several years, expecting to draw crowds of upwards of around 10,000 people during its 6-week display from March 28th through May 10th. But those weary of thinking about democracy after dozens of candidates have stopped through town shouldn't write off the opportunity right away. It's more grassroots, talking about people that citizens can relate to versus all the media buzz we have going on right now, said Cheryl O'Hearn, marketing coordinator for Spin Market. It's about the process, Patrick said. I hope that after they go through this, they can really think about their role in democracy, that they really understand that they are invested in what happens to the country. Sometimes we really feel separate because it feels so far away or we disagree with it. Voices to Votes interviews have been underway with locals in Fort Dodge and will be a key piece of the exhibit. Visitors can get excited about learning the meaning of their vote, how the voter body in America has diversified women's suffrage after the 100-year anniversary since women gained the right to vote, and fights that have been won against injustice on the road to fair representation. Memorabilia from the early 20th century through the civil rights movements of the 1960s, and much of which has never been seen on display, will evoke nostalgia for many. Attendees are going to be excited to see how Fort Dodge is represented, Patrick said. The travel adaptation of the permanent display in Washington will have many of the same dynamic features, from archived photos and video to engaging multimedia and objects that tell stories like campaign souvenirs, voter memorabilia, and protest material. Participants will be provoked to think about the definition of a democracy and what makes the system work. They will learn about famous founders of America who remain mostly unknown, how voting rights have expanded over time, the machinery, the democratic process, and how the diversification of America has affected democracy in the United States. Page 2 is where we find from our files section. There's a picture shown today. St. Edmund's Sarah Black tries for a shot against Algona's Emily Knudsen inside the Gale Gym during an Algona High versus St. Edmund's girls basketball game, and this goes back to January 2005. The Messenger poll question this week, do you favor ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment and adding it to the Constitution? To render an answer, go to messengernews.net. Last week's question, are you concerned about the possibility of war with Iran? 30% said yes and 70% said no. From this date in history, it is Sunday, January 19th, the 19th day of 2020. There are 347 days left in the year. On this date in 1937, millionaire Howard Hughes set a transcontinental air record by flying his monoplane from Los Angeles to Newark, New Jersey in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds. In 1915, Germany carried out its first air raid on Britain during World War II as a pair of Zeppelins dropped bombs on the Great Yarmouth and King's Lynn in England. 10 years ago, 8 people were shot to death in Appomattox, Virginia. Christopher Spites later pleaded guilty to murder and was sentenced to 5 life terms. 5 years ago, as he headed home from a week-long trip to Asia, Pope Francis upheld church teaching banning contraception, but said Catholics didn't have to, quote, breed like rabbits and should instead practice responsible parenting. 1 year ago, a major winter storm dumped up to 10 inches of snow on parts of the Midwest before barreling toward New England in a bid to end a partial shutdown by the government. Today's thought for today comes from Abraham Cowley, an English poet who lived from 1618 to 1667. The thought reads, love without passion is dreary. Passion with love without... I'll start over because this is a good one. Love without passion is dreary. Love without passion is dreary. Passion without love is horrific. That's what I was trying to say. Picture here on page 2 of Wright County Supervisor Carl Helgevold, who was invited to the White House in Washington, D.C. for the signing in the United States-China Phase 1 Trade Agreement. The signing was held in the East Wing of the White House in Washington on Wednesday. Scanning. Got the community calendar. We have this normal AA groups that we talk about every week. The Fort Dodge City Council will meet on Monday to continue work on the proposed budget for 2021. The council will meet at 5 o'clock in the Municipal Building at 819 First Avenue South. Proposed budgets for the Human Resources, Human Rights Department, and the Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department will be reviewed. Eggs and Issues Legislative Forum is from 8:30 to 10 Saturday in the Bioscience and Health Science Building on the Iowa Central Community College campus at 1 Triton Circle. Admission is free. 8:13 in the morning, as we turn to Progress 2020, sections begin today. That would be the title of the Messenger editorial. As the holiday season draws to a close each year, the Messenger writing staff embarks on a challenging adventure, producing a comprehensive look at how a wide array of developments in our region are shaping tomorrow. While every issue of this newspaper is filled with articles, features, and advertisements that readers find informative and useful, the 6 special sections we call Progress provide a perspective that goes far beyond simply reporting the latest happenings. Our goal is to look at the big picture, capture trends, and explore more fully events that may lead to headlines down the road. Today, health and wellness gets the Progress treatment. Various health care providers, including Community and Family Resources and Unity Point Health, Trinity Regional Medical Center, are featured. There are also several articles on public safety and philanthropy. Education is next Sunday's theme. That section will provide an update on school districts and other educational institutions. Then on February 2nd, a new addition to the Progress tradition will debut. This new section will examine area churches and service groups. Communities throughout the region will be the focus of the Progress section to appear on February 9th. Most of us have a good idea of what's going on in our hometown. This section will give everyone a chance to see what's going on in surrounding communities. Area businesses and industries will be featured in the February 16th issue of Progress. This section will tell the story of the business community strides during 2019 and the outlook for the months and years ahead. On February 23rd, agriculture will be featured as progress concludes. Agriculture has shaped the economy not only of North Central Iowa, but also the entire Hawkeye State for more than a century and a half. Consequently, it's appropriate that progress ends with an examination of that vital component of the messenger's world. Reading the messenger today and over the next five Sundays may take a bit longer than usual. We hope, however, that you will regard the time spent exploring these hefty issues to be a worthwhile investment in learning more about Fort Dodge and the region. The future is likely to be a prosperous time for the rural Iowa economy and an era of exciting renewal for many North Central Iowa communities. Progress will help readers understand why many observers are convinced that the days ahead are full of promise. Let's see, kind of an abbreviated newspaper here today. So I'm taking a look at the rest of the front section of the paper. There's a couple of pictures in the front section, and it shows just the amount of blowing snow that we experienced in the Fort Dodge area yesterday. One photo shows where some traffic signs are visible, but beyond that, there isn't a whole lot that you can see because of the blowing snow we experienced. And these pictures were taken just south of Fort Dodge towards the Dayton area. Okay, well, I've wiped out the front section already, and except for the obituary page, which we'll get to in 13 minutes and 30 seconds. So I'm going to switch over to the lifestyle section and talk about the Trinity Hospice Ball coming up February 1st. And I just need to take that out of there so I don't get confused, which is not hard. The 28th Annual Trinity Hospice Ball will be held February 1st at the Best Western Starlight Village Inn and Suites. The ball begins at 6 o'clock with the social hour, followed by dinner and a program at 7 o'clock and dancing at 8:30. A silent auction will run throughout the evening. Tickets are $50 for individuals. A reserved table for four is $350, and a reserved table for eight is $650. A corporate table sponsorship is available for $1,200. That includes a presence on the mobile wedding website, reserved table for eight, drink tickets, and special recognition at the event. Unity Point Health Trinity Regional Medical Center serves approximately 400 families each year needing hospice services, some at the Paul J. Baber Hospice Home and some at their own homes, some at assisted living facilities, and others in longer-term care facilities. Hospice is instrumental to the end-of-the-life process, said Carol Grannon, Senior Director of Development for the Trinity Foundation. It allows sons and daughters and not caregivers, she said. It allows husbands and wives to be husbands and wives and not caregivers. And it allows the grieving process to start sooner rather than later. The Trinity Hospice Ball is more than a fundraiser, Grannon said. It's a celebration of life. It's an acknowledgement of loss, and it's coming together of family members and caregivers. It's a chance for them to reunite and kind of reconnect. The ball also raises awareness of the hospice program at Trinity and the options available to members of the community. Grannon said each year the event nets about $50,000. As much as our goal is to raise money, it's also important to raise money because it provides for a lot of extras for our hospice program. Truly, it's about awareness and about just celebrating the life and acknowledging the loss, and it is about the fundraising, she said. Co-chairs for the event are Susie and Ed Birnbaum and Christy and John Nielsen. Ed feels that Trinity Regional TRMC's hospice program is a vital resource for the community. It's important. It's extremely important for the entire community of Fort Dodge simply because of the service that the hospice house provides. The Birnbaums and Nielsens know firsthand what it's like to have close friends supported in their final months and days on hospice care, Ed said. On behalf of John and Christy Nielsen, myself and my wife, we think it's a great program. We think that the hospice ball is a great event. We're extremely honored to be asked to be co-chairs for the 28th annual ball. During the dinner, there will be a short program that will include a video featuring photos of hospice patients from the past year. Throughout the night, there will be a silent auction. The Trinity Foundation will be using mobile bidding for the online silent auction. Grannon said those who cannot attend the event will still be able to bid online at unitypoint.org/fortdodge/20-hospice-ball. For those at the ball who may not have a smartphone, a personal shopper with an iPad will be available to place bids. Some items in the silent auction include car detailing certificates, meat packages, a week's stay at a condo in Colorado, designer handbags, Air Choice One tickets, and more. Raffle tickets for 7 prizes will also be on sale before and during the event, and winners need not be present to win. Granin said raffle prizes include a $500 gift card, $500 Hy-Vee gift card, a $250 Target gift card, and $50 Casey's gift cards. The raffle tickets are available for $10 or 3 for $25 and can be purchased online at that same website that I gave you just a couple of seconds ago. During dinner, the Debbie Hoffbauer Compassionate Caregiver Award will be presented. Debbie Hoffbauer was the first patient to die at the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home, and her family established this award in her memory, so we've been able to award it annually to a hospice provider for the level of care they provide. The Trinity Foundation requests attendees RSVP by January 25th. Tickets to the ball may be purchased online. The dress code for the event is cocktail attire. One of the United States' premier choral ensembles will be touring through Fort Dodge to showcase its vocal talents January 26th as the 2020 winter tour. Under the direction of Andrew Last, Associate Professor of Music and Director of Choral Activities at Luther, the program will feature a varied repertoire, including Giovanni Gabrielli's Angelus Domine, Paul J. Christensen's I Heard a Great Voice, and excerpts from Craig Hella Johnson's Considering Matthew Shepard. The concert will conclude with notes from O Lord God by Pavel Chesnikov, inviting alumni of the choir to join the 75-member ensemble on stage as part of the traditional closing piece for Nordic Choir. Matt Dries, a 2010 Luther graduate, will direct a featured appearance by the Fort Dodge Senior High Choir at the concert. Nordic Choir is Luther's principal touring choir, and the program composed of 3 upper-class mixed touring choirs and 2 first-year choirs. Featuring versatility, artistry, and technical mastery across many different genres, the Nordic Choir is acclaimed for both its honor of the Lutheran choral tradition and its new innovative work. The choir tours annually, performing in churches of all denominations, schools, and concert halls, including New York's Lincoln Center, Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center, Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles. The ensemble has toured Europe, Russia, the Caribbean, and Mexico. In 2021, it will add South Africa to the list. Luther alumnus Last, the choir's director since 2017, has a Doctor of Musical Arts in Choral Conducting from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln School of Music. In a tradition of music, Last finds himself at home with Luther College, home to one of the largest collegiate music programs in the nation, where 5 choirs, 3 orchestras, 3 bands, 2 jazz bands, nearly 800 student musicians, and 275 music majors thrive. The performance is open to the public. It will be at 4 o'clock on January 26th at First United Methodist Church, 127 North 10th Street, and a free will offering will be accepted. Here's a picture of someone doing something nice. North Central Turf Incorporated recently presented Trinity Foundation with a check of $3,000 in gratitude for the care provided to Joey Rindblum, a loyal employee of North Central Turf. The donation is restricted to the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home and will be used to provide comfort therapy, education, and patient care. Included in the photo in the paper is Joyce Bianchi, of Unity Point Hospice, Allison Studer and Jamie Miller of North Central Turf, Carol Grannon at Trinity Foundation, and Becky Crampton from the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home. 8:24 in the morning, some bruises late recently at Trinity Regional Medical Center. Taylor Jordison of Otho welcomed a girl on January 8th. Melissa and Jason Reese of Humboldt welcomed a boy on January 9th. Elora Mays of Fort Dodge welcomed a girl on January 9th. And Bailey and Israel Lopez Vicario of Humboldt welcomed a boy on January 11th. Those were all at Unity Point Trinity Regional Medical Center. The Fort Dodge Federated Garden Club will meet at 1 o'clock Tuesday at the Lion's Den. Heather Jensen from the Fort Museum in Frontier Village will be speaking on terrariums. Judith Walrod will give the flower show tip on selecting basic containers. Visitors are welcome. The Community Health Center of Fort Dodge will be participant in a health and wellness information offering being held at the Crossroads Mall on Tuesday from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock. The event will include other businesses and local organizations such as nutritionists, gyms, massage therapists, dance studio, and insurance companies. Lots going on at the Kendall Young Library as usual in Webster City. They will host come-and-go activities for children 5 years old to 5th grade from 3:45 to 5 o'clock on Thursday. They'll have the Noon Book Club at noon, believe it or not, on Tuesday at the library. The book is The Story of Edgar Sawtell, written by David Robluski. They also hold preschool story time from 10:05 to 10:35 Wednesday for children ages 3 to 5. They'll hold teen lounge from 3:30 to 5:30 on Tuesday and Wednesday. For kids in 6th through 12th grades, teens may enjoy crafts, snacks, board games, puzzles, movies, music, video games, and more. And the Kendall Young Library will host Terrific Tuesdays for children in kindergarten through 5th grade from 4 to 5 o'clock on Tuesday at the library. All right, we're just flying through the paper today, folks. Looks like I might be leaving a little early. Got the obituary page coming up in a couple minutes. And just taking a look here at the sports section. Not a great day if you were an Iowa State fan yesterday. They were defeated by Texas Tech. And if you continue to listen to Iris today, I'm sure that they'll be reading a story about that a little bit later as those folks look through the Des Moines Register. And let's see. And got the business section here as well. And we'll take a look at a few of those stories as well. I didn't have much time to get through that paper prior to sitting down this morning. It was one of those mornings. So, we'll go ahead and take a look at the obituary page, but first I need to tell you that you're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. The Messenger may be heard daily at 8 o'clock with an encore performance at 3 o'clock. If you have any questions or comments about our programming or the people who read for IRIS, you may give Iris a call at 515-243-6833. For example, if you think we need a pay raise or something like that, you just go right ahead and call them. We'll take a look at the obituaries here in a couple moments. I'm going to take a breather, a break, and just a quick drink, and then we'll be right back with the obituary page. It is a pretty morning in Fort Dodge. Things have calmed down considerably after the snowstorm we experienced. It's very bright out. Not a cloud in the sky today, but it's awfully snowy and slick out there. So if you do venture out, of course, you'll want to be careful. And now we look at today's obituary page. Edna Norris. Edna Marion Norris was born October 8, 1920, to Theodore and Clara Henginger Kemp in Twin Lakes Township in Hancock County, Iowa. She received her elementary education, in Twin Lake Township one-room rural schoolhouse. She attended and graduated from Belmont High School with the class of 1937. After completing the executive secretarial course at Hamilton School of Commerce in Mason City, she worked a year at the credit department at Damon's Department Store in Mason City. She then moved to Belmont to work as secretary to the superintendent of schools and the school board of the Belmont Schools. On May 9, 1942, she married Merlin A. Norris of Rowan at Omaha. Edna and her infant son Ray lived with her parents in Goodell while Merlin was deployed overseas during World War II. Upon Merlin's discharge from the Army at the end of the war, the family moved to Ottawa, Illinois. In January 1950, they returned to Iowa, making Eagle Grove their permanent home. While raising her family, she was active in her children's various activities and organizations, including assistant den mother of Cub Scouts, participating in band boosters and church activities. She held various offices in her church circle and ELCW. She was secretary at her Eagle Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church from January 1959 through November 1969. She then worked for McGrath and McGrath Law Firm as a legal secretary until her retirement in 1985. Merlin had a large garden, so Edna was also very busy with preserving their large bounty from the garden. She and Merlin were ardent auction and antique flea market fans and showed and sold their wares at many sites around the Midwest. She continued her shows with the help of her children after Merlin's death on November 9, 1989, up until a year and a half prior to her death. She was a voracious reader and could speed read through several books a week. She occupied her time in later years playing her piano, working crossword puzzles, and putting together puzzle boards. She also enjoyed bird watching from her windows, feeding the many songbirds who visited her bird feeders. Edna passed away on Thursday, January 16th, 2020 at Sturgeon Manor in Dallas Center at the age of 99 years. Preceding her in death were her husband Merle, her parents Theodore and Clara of Goodell, Iowa, and her sister Tony Florence Vetman of Tripoli. She leaves to mourn her passing her four children and their spouses, Ray and Barbara Norris, Brian and Barbara Norris, Bruce and Mary Ellen Norris, and Catherine and Todd Aish. Her five grandchildren, Sarah and Josh Roller, Christopher and Debbie Norris, Jessica Hanshaw, Seth and Sherry Norris, and Lucas and Amy Ash, and her nine great-grandchildren, Ethan Ash, Abigail Ash, Easton Hanshaw, Benjamin Roller, Vivian Roller, Sadie Norris, Abby Norris, Hunter Norris, and Gage Norris. Visitation and funeral will be planned for April 2020 at the Eagle Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church. Faust Funeral Home of Eagle Grove and Goldfield is in charge of arrangements. Linda Gilbrandson. Linda Gilbrandson, 69, of Eagle Grove, died Friday, January 17th. Services are pending at Faust Funeral Home in Eagle Grove. Harlan Newman. Harlan Newman, 77, died at the Good Samaritan Society in Manson on January 17th. Visitation is from 5 to 6 at the United Church of Christ Congregational in Manson on Sunday, June 26th, followed by a funeral service at 6:30 p.m. Larson Weishauer Funeral Home is assisting the family. Cheryl Brown, 80, of Fort Dodge, passed away on Saturday, January 18th at her home. Services are pending at Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Services for Pauline McIntyre, 86, will be at 2 o'clock Monday at the Marion Home Chapel. Visitation is 1 hour prior to the funeral home at the Marion Home Chapel. Services for Wilma Hare, 87, will be private and held at a later date. Services for Jim Hanch, age 70, are pending, and all those services are with Laufeisweilers. Evelyn Lynn Herman. Services will be 10:30 Sunday, 10:30 today at the Fulton Lutheran Church at Rowland. Visitation is 9 to 10:30 a.m. Sunday at the church. And that is the extent of today's obituary page. We'll go ahead and take a look at the sports section. Just some highlights. There's nothing too local on the front page. Big article about Luca Garza as he works to dominate the Michigan Wolverines again with a 33-point effort in the Iowa win over Michigan Friday night by a score of 90-83. I mentioned about the Cyclones losing yesterday. Today is the day of the AFC and NFC championships. Kansas City takes on Tennessee in Kansas City. That game begins at 2 o'clock, and that will be on CBS. The Chiefs are favored by 7.5 points. Right after that, at 5:30, is the game between Green Bay and San Francisco at San Francisco. That game is on Fox, and the 49ers are also favored by 7.5 points. Looking at today's hot corner, on this date in 1937, Nap LaJoie, Tris Speaker, and Cy Young are elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in the second year of voting. In 1952, the PGA, Professional Golfers Association, approves the participation of blacks in golf tournaments. In 1972, Sandy Koufax of the Los Angeles Dodgers becomes the youngest player elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. At the age of 36, Yogi Berra and Earlie Winn are also elected. In 1974, UCLA's 88-game winning streak is snapped when Notre Dame overcomes an 11-point deficit in the final 3 minutes and 32 seconds to win 71-70. With 29 seconds remaining, Dwight Clay's jump shot from the right corner gives the Irish the lead. In 2006, Tennessee coach Pat Summitt gets her 900th victory and her first shot at the milestone, as the Lady Vols rally from their biggest deficit during the season to beat Vanderbilt. In 2012, Serena Williams moves into the third round of the Australian Open with a 6-0-6-4 victory over Balbora Shlavova-Strakova for her 500th career match win. The win improves her career record to 500 and 104 in tour matches. In 2014, Anna Ivanovic ends Serena Williams' bid for a 6th Australian and 18th Grand Slam title in a stunning 4th-round upset at Melbourne Park. Again, I talked about the pro football on TV today. There's men's college basketball. 4 games are listed starting at 11, 3, 5, and 7. Women's college basketball is also on television beginning at 11, noon, a couple games at 1, 3 games at 2, a game at 3, and a game at 4. College wrestling is on the Big Ten Network at 2 o'clock or ESPN2 at 4 o'clock. There's also bowling, tennis, boys high school basketball is on this evening on ESPN. Pro hockey is on 11:30 with Boston at Pittsburgh. And locally, Iowa is at Wisconsin in women's basketball. Iowa State is at Oklahoma State in women's basketball. Indiana State is at Northern Iowa. And Evansville is at Drake, and those games are all on 2 o'clock. In men's basketball, Drake is at Southern Illinois. Local, women's basketball has Tritons hosting DMAC at 1 o'clock, followed by the men's Tritons game being against DMAC at 3 o'clock. And those games are being made up today because yesterday the weather was so lousy. Not a great day record-wise for the Fort Dodge Dodgers, as they knew it would be an uphill climb at Saturday's Beat the Streets Brawl. The third-ranked Class 3A Dodgers dropped all 4 of their duels, including their first 3 to nationally top 15 squads. It was Fort Dodge's final setback of 35-31 against host Oak Park River Forest that left head coach Bobby Thompson feeling frustrated at the end of the day, though. I don't think we should have lost that one. We were a little overwhelmed in our other matches, but the OPRF duel, that was there for the taking. We lost a couple of matches that we shouldn't have because, frankly, we got outworked and out-wrestled. But when you're facing elite competition like this, all your bad habits or bad technique will definitely get exposed, and that was a learning experience for us. For Dodge's Drake Ayala, a top-ranked 120-pounder who is one of the most highly sought-after wrestlers in the nation from the class of 2021, did his part with 4 victories and improving to a 28-0 record on the year. Ayala had 2 pins and 2 major decisions. Number 2, Carson Taylor, was also impressive again, going 3-1 with 2 falls and decisions and a victory. Taylor, 25-2, suffered a 6-2 loss to Jake Rundell, who is ranked in the top 10 nationally and is a Purdue University recruit. Drake and Carson looked great. Drake just dominated even against kids who have been state champions, and Carson was right there with Rundell, who is a high-end Division I guy. It was a tight match. He proved he belonged. They're both performing at the level you'd expect from champions as we get closer to late January. Junior Drazon Phillips was 23-6 for the year, was 2-2 with a pin and decision, as was Lane Cowell at 21-5, who wrestles at 113. Drazon really battled. It's okay if you get beat as long as you give it your all. Drazon did that against some Division I level opponents. Both the Cows, Lance and Brooks, who went 1-3, fought hard and got beat by some tough guys. They looked good and got better. Max Bishop at 106, Brooks Cow at 132, Brandon Mills at 145, Savion Weed at 160, Dylan Zimmerman at 170, Austin Lee at 182, and Caden Lynch at 195 all had one victory apiece for the Dodgers, which lost to 6th-ranked Intermat Lake Highland Prep, number 7 Bergen Catholic of New Jersey, and 14th-rated Tuttle of Oklahoma. The Dodgers are ranked 43rd nationally. I have to say this, you look at the week Cody Cook just had at 152, he loses to a ranked kid on Thursday, then takes on 4 high-end guys here and goes 0-4, but he wrestled his butt off. That's what I want to see. Sure, his record took a hit, but this should make him better in the long run. Same goes for a lot of our wrestlers. This was a whole new level of competition. It definitely would have been helpful to have Levi Eagley, the Dodgers' second-ranked 195-pounder, who is sidelined for 4 weeks with a broken bone in his hand. But we had some strong individual performances, and now we'll get back to the CIML tougher and wiser. And we have filmed a study where we made our mistakes and what needs to be corrected. Fort Dodge returns to action on Thursday at Marshalltown. Let's see here. Looking through the rest of the sports section. A couple of quick notices here. Iowa Central will have their softball camps on Sunday, January 26th. 8-12 camp runs from 11:30 to 3. Grades 3 through 7 clinic is from 3:45 to 6:15. Cost is $60 per student in grades 3 through 7, $75 for students in grades 8 through 12. Infield, outfield play, pitching, base running, catching, hitting, and weight training and nutrition through grades 8 through 12 will be covered. Forms are available through the Iowa Central website. The pre-team swim program is now being offered by Fort Dodge Parks and Rec's Recreation Department, which is partnering with the Fort Dodge Swim Club coaches to offer a 3-week session aimed at kids who have learned the basics of swim lessons and are ready to move on to a new challenge. These sessions will introduce the competitive strokes and skills in a fun, engaging environment. There's a maximum of 5 swimmers per session. Swimmers will be coached by coaches who are certified swim coaches with both club and college swimming experience. This group meets 3 times a week for 3 weeks from 5:45 to 6:30 in the Fort Dodge Senior High Pool. Iowa State place kicker Connor Asali has been an outstanding contributor for the Cyclone special teams the last 2 seasons, and head football coach Matt Campbell rewarded Asali by placing him on the scholarship for his senior year. He finished the 2019 season connecting on 78.9% or 15 of 19 of his field goals, the 4th best single season percentage in school history. Asali, who led the team in scoring for the 2nd straight season with 94 points, had three games making 3 or more field goals, including a 3-of-3 effort versus Notre Dame at the Camping World Bowl. Asali made history during the season when his 36-yard field goal split the uprights as time expired to help the Cyclones defeat number 22 Texas 23-21. It was Iowa State's first regulation walk-off victory since 1983. Let's see here. There's some information here about the Iowa Central basketball games for this afternoon. Due to weather, as I mentioned, the games were moved from Saturday to Sunday, with the women starting at 1 and the men starting at 3. In the women's game, the last time these two teams played, they split their games a year ago, with Iowa Central claiming a 79-69 victory in Boone and DMAC winning 80-72. The last time out, the Tritons picked up an 84-70 victory last Wednesday versus Little Priest Tribal. The Bears are coming off an 89-58 setback to top-ranked Kirkwood. The Bears are 7-4 at home, but just 1-3 on the road this season. Fort Dodge Senior High graduate Taylor Lesmeyer is shooting 42% from the field and averages almost 4 rebounds per game. In the men's game, the Bears swept 2 games last year with a 104-62 victory and then a 90-63 victory. The Bears made 31 three-pointers in the 2 meetings. Last time out, the Tritons men went earning their second straight win over Little Priest Tribal by a score of 92-68. DMAC extended its winning streak to 9 with a 78-58 victory over number 12 Kirkwood, having also bested the ranked Nyack during the 107-63 victory. That is not just me speaking, that's poorly written. I'm going with that. All right, switching over to business. Michelle Pearson, advanced nurse practitioner, has joined the Iowa Specialty Hospital Fort Dodge Clinic at 2700 First Avenue South. Pearson is an Iowa Central Community College graduate. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from the University of Iowa and obtained her MSN leadership from Walden University and her postmaster's FNP from Clarkson College. She has extensive experience and background in family medicine and public health. In hospital nursing management, she'll be seeing patients in the Iowa Specialty Clinic in Fort Dodge, located in the Orthopedic Services Office. CNOS Orthopedics at Unity Point Health of Fort Dodge welcomes Steve Stokesbury. He is a member of the CNOS team of orthopedic surgeons since 1998. He joins Dr. Richard Lawton, Grant Wilson, PAC, of the Fort Dodge practice. In the Fort Dodge practice, rather, Stokesbury was board certified in July 2000 by the American Board of Orthopedic Surgery. He is a member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the Iowa Orthopedic Society, and the Woodbury Medical Society, where he serves as a member on the Board of Trustees. He has served as team physician for Wayne State College and is part of the sports medicine team of physicians at CNOS. The Iowa IG Council, in partnership with Fairway, recently conducted a buy 2 dozen, give 1 dozen promotion during the holiday season. The campaign provided eggs to Iowans struggling with hunger in communities Iowa egg farmers serve. The Iowa's Feeding America member food banks will receive a total truckload donation containing 21,600 dozen eggs. We are proud to partner with Fairway on this promotion to help Iowa's food banks by providing eggs, an economical protein and essential ingredient, said Kevin Stiles, executive director of the Iowa Egg Council. Julie Winninger joined the Town and Country Insurance team in recent months. She splits her work time between Webster City and Fort Dodge as a licensed personal life insurance agent. She is a graduate of St. Edmund High School and is a lifelong member of the Fort Dodge community. Winninger is involved with MOPS and ELKS. Community Health Center Fort Dodge has added automatic blood pressure monitors for each medical provider at the Fort Dodge Clinic. The purchase was made possible through fundraising. The Health Center's annual fundraising event held in November 2019 raised the funds necessary to make this purchase. Each year we identify an area where we would like to improve patient care, said Renee Kruckenberg, CEO of the Community Health Center of Fort Dodge. The automatic monitors are used by health center staff to check vital signs. They are more comfortable for patients than older automatic blood pressure cuffs and more accurate as well. In addition to time or to comfort and accuracy, they save clinician staff time, she said. Looking through the rest of the business section, and I think for the most part we've covered everything locally. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over to the weather forecast. And then I've got to go find a lost glove because I'm going to need it today. It's probably sitting in my car. And then I got to go to work. Looking at the weather forecast today, again, mostly sunny, high around zero. Low around minus 11 tonight, and then northwest winds 14 to 17 miles per hour. So with the cold temperatures, you obviously don't want to be outside for very long. We're going to warm up to 4 degrees on Monday under mostly sunny skies, a high tomorrow night of minus 11. 20 degrees on Tuesday with mostly sunny skies, followed by a low of 13. Wednesday, cloudy, but the temperatures are up in the mid-30s. We're looking at 36 with a low around 28. Hearing about snow chances later in the week, chance of snow is reflected here, high of 36 on Thursday with a low around 24. And on Friday, chance of snow continues, high of 34, low around 22. So just have to keep your ear open to the weather to see what's going to happen with the possibility of more snow coming in towards the end of the week. Next Saturday, mostly cloudy, high of 28 with a low around 22. Yesterday's high was an early one. It was 27 degrees. The low previous night was 3. A year ago, we had a high of 19 with a low of 3 degrees. 0.04 of an inch of precipitation. I assume that's in the form of rain. We had about 5 inches of snow in the Fort Dodge area. Month precipitation to date, almost 1.2 inches, and that would correspond with how much we've had year to date. The sun will bid us farewell on this side of the planet tonight at 5:12 this afternoon, and good Lord willing, we'll reappear tomorrow morning at 7:41 a.m. That's going to bring us to the end of the reading of today's Fort Dodge Messenger. We thank the folks at Friendship Haven for giving Iris a wonderful home in Fort Dodge for so many years. And, of course, we thank everyone for listening to Iris through Ira Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. I'm Kevin Rogers signing off. You folks have a great week. Stay warm. And hopefully we'll talk to you again next Sunday. Ciao, my friends.